Let it rain.
And let the life of God.
And let the life of God.
Let it fill me now.
Let it fill us now. Let your healing power. The peace of God, let it rain.
Amen. We thank God for the powerful presence that has been here from the beginning of this service. I don't know if you can feel it. I have felt it wall to wall. Every song, every message, everything is just working together. Amen. And it's, we just give God all the glory. We thank God for the covering of our fathers, people that rule by their spirit. They don't just say it, they do it. And we can see the effect and the impact. We give God all the glory in Jesus' name. Please let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come at your feet to receive of your word. We understand and recognize that in ourselves we are unable, incapable of doing it, Lord, to the measure and the standard that you want it done. And so, Father, I ask for fresh mercy, unction from on high. I duck under the covering of my fathers so that, Lord, your word will flow in and through me like a stream of living water. Let it bring life. Let it bring hope. Let it bring strength. Let it bring fire. The desire to press on and to lay hold upon all that you have prepared for us and all that you have kept for us that has yet been untouched. So that, Lord, we will press toward the mark for that prize that is set before us in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and into our ankle bones, helping us, Lord, to press in deeper, Lord, into the temple, Lord, into the very presence of God where you are, because the way to the Holy of All is open. And so, Lord, help us to press in into the Holy of Holies in intimacy with you in the name of Jesus. Father, I also pray, Lord, that you have mercy on me. Help me to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time. Lord, let an internal, eternal work be done in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to be a scribe, instructor of the kingdom, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old to the praise of your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Once again, it's a great privilege for me to stand before you to share God's word this afternoon. I thank Pastor and Mommy so much for their example, their lives, their sacrifice, their endurance. You know, they're really very enduring people. You know, and the Bible says in the book of Joshua, the Bible says the priest stood in the midst of the Jordan for the people to cross over. You know, and they've been there for years doing it faithfully and consistently. And our prayer for them is that the husbandman that has labored shall be first partaker of the committed overcomer vanguard in the name of Jesus. And as we follow them faithfully, we also have our part there in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the word I bring this afternoon, I believe God has sent me to you this afternoon. Amen. So you better believe it too. I'm just joking. Okay. All right. God has sent me to you this afternoon. And it's entitled, Our Day in the Day of the Lord. Our Day in the Day of the Lord. Now, the Day of the Lord is a 1,000-year period. Bible calls it the third day. Okay. And it's a 1,000-year period that began around about 1995, 1996. Pastor has taught us that over the years because Jesus Christ was crucified about 4 BC. So we don't start counting from year 2000. We start counting from about 4 years thereabouts before. Okay? And it's the day in which God's purposes on the earth are being fulfilled. Now, you need to understand that God moves in times and seasons. And right from, as Pastor Andrew was sharing, just shaking my head, God, you know, exactly those same words God gave them to me, that right from Adam, God has a plan. And that plan, he has been working on relentlessly. And in spite of people's weaknesses and mistakes, God works around it. You know, and that in that dispensation, you know, there've been many dispensations, and there's been a plan for each dispensation. And the first dispensation was to bring Christ to be able to come to pay the price for the sin that Adam sinned. That took 4,000 years. So you can understand, God, in Bible says God is patient and kind. He is patient and kind, like 4,000 years patient. Something that happened, one, it took 4,000 years to correct that error. The first Adam, the second Adam. Then from the second, from that's in between the first Adam and second Adam, you have David. That's why you have in the genealogies in Matthew, you have Abraham, you have David, then you have Christ. Then from Christ, the plan changed. Because now he wants to raise up many sons unto glory. And all those sons must be exactly like the pattern son. Not a little bit like, not somehow like, totally, completely like. No difference. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. God is replicating the same thing here and now. And like the Bible says, our battles are won by the power of your mighty hand. When you're thinking about it, how can it be? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. And that holy thing, the Son of God, will be born in you, born in me, to the praise of God's glory in Jesus' name. It's not a fable. We're not saying it just to make you, encourage you and make you feel good. It's really the reality. Because God doesn't have unfinished projects. Whatever he starts, that's why the whole of praise and worship was full of songs that magnify the Lord. I'm born a winner. You are born into a winning family. Winning is in your DNA. It's in your DNA. And you let it flow out into your soul, out into your body. And when it looks like you're not winning, that's exactly when God wants you to win. Because you are born a winner. You're not trying to be a winner. You're not learning to be a winner. You are born a winner. And you grow up in the maturity and understanding of that winner, you will win every time. But it's important to understand that in this day of the Lord, all of us have our day. You must understand your purpose, because in the day of the Lord, God is fulfilling his purpose. Now you must understand your purpose in that purpose, so that you can flow with it. Now, two things God said I should tell you, two things that we must not do. And I speak to myself as I speak to you. First thing is that you must not be asleep. You must not be asleep. You must not. The Bible says the day of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3, I think in verse 10, it says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That means that some people are unaware. But imagine if a thief was going to, a thief would not come to your house in Jesus' name. But the thief wanted to come, and you knew the time, you knew the day, you knew the window or the door he wanted to use. As soon as he comes in, you just deal with him. In fact, you won't let him come in. You will meet him outside and deal with him. Amen? Now, it's the same thing. See, as he will come as a thief. So some people are sleeping. We must not be asleep in the day of the Lord. And number two, we must not go back. Because the day of the Lord is a double-edged sword. It comes with a bit of pressure. Because in the day of the Lord, you know, we have the signs of his coming in Luke 21. Give me Luke 21, 25. We have the signs of his coming. Then with the signs of the coming, we have the tribulation of the church. The tribulation of the church is the pressure that God has allowed to come to the church to perfect the church, so that the church can inherit the glory. And then with that glory, the church will now overcome the persecution that is going to come with the glory. So there's the tribulation, the perfection, and the persecution all like three in one. And when the church overcomes the persecution, then now go and disciple the nations. That's what God is doing. So let's read from Luke 21. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The seas and the waves roaring. We've seen that. Even Sri Lanka, the sea and the waves are roaring until the prime minister had to resign. Next verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be what? Shaken. So through our intercession, by the grace of God, not just us, but all the ecclesia all over the world, the heavens are being shaken, so that Satan, the place he was in the second heavens, he has been dislodged and is still being dislodged. And they have come to the earth having great wrath. Because now it's like their place, the Bible says there's no place for them anymore. Because we have taken over the heavenlies. And we can see the signs of having taken over. You can see it. Oshun State is a sign. It's a sign. And that's why God put it in. When people that don't know God are quoting scripture, it tells you that it's a sign. That's why the high priest, it was Jesus' intercession in Gethsemane that made the high priest say what he said. It's the heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. He has not changed. Next verse. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and what? Great glory. That's what we're about to see. We're about to see that. Next verse. Verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, then what? Look up. One of the songs we sang said, look up. Look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is not a time to look around. That's distraction. To look down, that's carnality. It's a time to look up. Godliness. Bible says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is shining in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking up to. We're looking by revelation to see what cannot be seen physically, what is going on in the background, and interpreting everything that happens to you and I in the light of what's going on in the background. Right. That's what God is doing. Amen. And it's important to say this. I plead Holy Spirit to say this at this time. The condition in all generations and all dispensations has always been obedience. Not just obedience, obedience unto death. Hello. Everybody went quiet. Obedience unto death. A testament is only of force after men are dead. Jesus brought it into manifestation by dying to be able to receive it in his fullness. You must be ready to die. You're not going to die, but you're going to be ready to die. You are going to be ready to resist. Bible says you have not yet resisted sin unto death, but you have to be willing, trusting in the God that is more than enough. He's big, he's large, he's great. That he has you in his hand and he knows exactly what he's doing. Otherwise, you will stop at the point of death in your obedience, and you will disobey God. Amen. That's why the three Hebrew boys, when they heated up the fire seven times, that's a sign that if you want to repent now, repent of what you are doing, or otherwise we are going to burn you. Nothing will remain. Obviously, they said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able. Even if he doesn't, we will not bow. God couldn't save them from the inside, but he saved them from the outside. A fourth man appeared in the fire. Hallelujah. How much more you and I? A better testament. Established upon better promises. Christ now not outside you, but in you. Is the greatness, is that greatness that God wants us to see and understand. So the condition has been obedience unto death, or love. the Bible says that, you know, the Son of God in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, you know, he counted not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and humbled himself unto death, even the death of a cross. So you must understand that he's the pattern son. So we are following in that pattern. So you cannot have, they've lied to us in our mind. Now, thank God for the fathers that we have, you know, that tell us the truth. You know, the pattern is death. You know, when I say death now, I mean self-denial. You have to deny, because the more you deny yourself, that's a form of death. You know, the more you deny yourself in the place of prayer to give life to others, the more the more you overcome all the persecution and the tribulation Satan is bringing against you. The more you are aware of what's going on. And we will see in the Bible, there were people that in their day, they were not aware of what was going on. They were there, they understood to some degree, but the significant areas, significant points, they made mistakes. And that mistake was costly. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. All right, let's look on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Just quickly put scripture behind it. Wherefore, let's read together, brethren. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Witnesses. There is Nathan, there's Abraham, there's Ruth, there's Zadok, there's Daniel, all there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience, consistency. The race that is set before us. Next verse. Looking unto Jesus. Looking up. Revelation knowledge. Amen. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if you follow him, where will you end up? The right hand of the throne of God. That's your destination. That's where we're going to end up, brethren. Amen. I thought you'd be shouting. Hallelujah. That's the end of the book. We've seen the answer. I mean, that's the end of the book. He became our sacrificial lamb. We're not going to die. We're going to live to declare the glory of God. He needs us to do that on the earth. Amen. But we're willing to go through everything he went through so that we can wind up exactly where he wound up. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. So you see that we can sit with him in his throne and enjoy spiritual kingship, like Pastor has been teaching us. Scatter away evil with your eyes. You know, have a heart that is so malleable in God's hands, you can flow with the will of God in either direction, and have power, you know, to be able to say that your word does not fall to the ground. By my word, there will be no rain. That's how it is. But you know, those people didn't have what we had. They didn't have what we have. And so it's important that you must understand we are the generation that finishes this race. You know, we and our children, actually. You know, we and our children, we are the ones that finish this race. It's a great privilege that God has given us. I know the anchor leg is the fastest leg. Whatever has been undone, any mistake that has not been properly done, except the baton fail. But if the baton does not fall, somebody developed muscle pull, and then they gave it the anchor. That anchor leg, it will correct every error and finish the tape in style. When you watch Bolt, you understand that there's none that cannot be redeemed. You know, you will get up and you will eat up the miles and end up there first. It's the same way. We are the anchor leg. We have spiritual turbo charge inside of us. The power of God, the light of God, the love of God, working on all cylinders. So that we finish the thing in style and fulfill every scripture that God has ordained for us to fulfill. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right, so we see that's our hope. We want to sit within His throne, like Pastor Jay says so beautifully. That Bible study, I just give God the glory for that Bible. It was such a blessing. I was really blessed and edified. And tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. That's what we're going to be tempted in every way, and then we will not sin. Imagine it. The devil tempting you in every way, and you have zero sin rate. Now give God the glory in faith. Yeah. Just imagine it. Then give God the glory. And aspire towards it. That's how it's done. It's not looking at it and wondering, how will these things be? That's John the Baptist's daddy's response. Let us have Mary's response. Be it unto me according to your word. That's the response we need to have. Amen? And then do the miracles that he did and greater. You know that in John 14 verse 12. We're not going in there. So I really want to get to where we're doing. So with that obedience of the dead established in every generation, then in each person's day, the what God is trying to do changes depending on the person. For example, in Joseph's time, it was to save Israel from famine, take them from a family and make them a nation. But it was obedience unto death plus that. Okay, and in the time of Daniel, it was to preserve Israel in Babylon and bring about the manifestation of the prophecy of Jeremiah that after 70 years, they will go back. It was obedience of the dead plus that. Okay, now in Lord Jesus' time, it was obedience unto death and then redeeming all humanity from the hold of sin and death and taking the keys of death and hell. And he has done that. And now the button has come to you and I. Under the authority of our fathers. Amen. And our own is in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Philippians 3:10. Thank you. That I may what? Know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship. That's why I talk about death. I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about suffering. Fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. Next verse. Or self-denial. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Give me this verse in the Amplified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. He's talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10 to 11, where the life of God, as we are delivered unto death, the life of God is made manifest in your mortal flesh. It's a process. You must understand it. When this death situation comes, it's a situation that is negative. It's like a challenge. Okay, it's like a difficulty. Okay, it comes against us. It is allowed to come because you have what is enough to overcome it. It's all part of a plan, but it's a process. So when that process comes, you are supposed to dig in deep into God. Look at what you have been taught or what you have been shown. Practice the instructions you have been given. And in doing so, you will push back on that thing and overcome it. And then to that degree, there's more life in your mortal flesh. So you begin to take your mortal flesh step by step. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, during prayer, I've been there, so I know. All right, you wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock. 5 minutes to 5, you're lying on the bed. The prayer starts, and you put on your phone, and you are there, but you're not there. Hello? You are hearing everything. You are hearing everything in song, but you are lying on your pillow. You are covering yourself. Hello? Hello? I hope I'm not walking over you. Only pastor walks over. Me, I don't walk. Me, I'm just talking. All right, but you know, you lie on your bed and you miss some things here and there, you know, and all of a sudden you hear fire. They wake up again, and then you know, and towards the end you just hear a loud noise, and then yeah, and that's it. Prayer's done. then God tells you, that's not good enough. Then you want to repent. So when the prayer time comes, you get up. You remove your cover cloth. You sit on your bed. Or don't sit on bed, you sit on your chair. You plug your phone in. You are listening to everything. 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 You are denying yourself sleep. You are suffering. Suffering. That's what you're doing. You are suffering. Even unto death. You are denying yourself something. You know, that you might attain unto. So, as they are praying those prayers, more light is coming to your mind. More strength. You find that as you are praying, your tongues is different. You are praying with passion. You are hitting something in the spiritual realm. And it comes to time where the whole 1 hour, you're not asleep. And then, but when you get to work, like around 11 o'clock, you feel that, hello, I don't know whether, maybe it's only me. It's happening to only me. That's happening. Around 11 o'clock, you've you stay with it. And as you stay with it, you find that 11 o'clock thing passes. All right? Then next time God says, okay, why don't you try 2 hours? Because that's how you suffer. But in the suffering, you are giving out life. And God will allow that process, you know, for you to give out, take and use for other people, and store up some of the prayers, and then use some for you as well, but just enough so that you go through that measure of a death process to fulfill the condition for sonship. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And then, as you keep doing that, you are sowing to the Spirit and you are reaping eternal life. But the full measure will come suddenly. You see a progression, but the ultimate, the full, is like somebody paying you dividend. It's paying you dividends. It's paying you something, you know, for what you are giving. But the full money that you have is still there with him. And then one day, he now wants to pay you everything. Your investment, plus your dividend, everything together. That now, life in your spirit, life in your soul, life in your body. That's where God is taking us. All right? So, that's why the Bible says that he will present to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or blemish. We kill all those wrinkles or blemishes by suffering. Self-denial. By deliberately, intentionally suffering self-denial and being obedient unto death. Okay? And then we can now fulfill all the prophetic scriptures that God has given. Now, there are two conditions to be able to fulfill this. The first one is Deuteronomy 17, 18. And that is... Deuteronomy 17, 18. That is... yes, let's read. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Okay, next verse. And he shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law, and these statutes to do them. All right, what is God saying there? That's talking about daily reading and meditation of God's word to receive the wisdom of godliness. There is the wisdom of godliness that you get only from sons of Issachar. And the sons of Issachar are the people that have 1 Chronicles 12:32. They are the people that have understanding of the times. And they know what Israel ought to do. If you're not listening to sons of Issachar, you will be asleep. If you are listening to sons of Issachar, their word will wake you up to understand that you are living in the day, to understand what the priority of your day is, and then to know what your place in that day is. Wisdom of godliness. The Bible says that the wisdom from above. And there's the wisdom from beneath. We're talking about the wisdom from above. Okay, James chapter 3, verse 15. I'm not going to turn there because of time. All right, the next one is the power of godliness that Pastor Dave was talking about today. You know, consistent, Joshua 1:8. You know, consistent obedience by keeping God's word in our mouth and in our heart diligently. It's in Joshua 1:8. It's in Deuteronomy. Okay, this book of law will not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Notice that the observing to do comes from the word in your mouth, the meditation in your heart. Then you have the power to do according to all that is written there. For then you make your way prosperous and you have good success. So that is the power of godliness. So you need the wisdom of godliness and the power of godliness. The two of them is what makes us godly. Now, sadly, of course, when you look at in the Bible, you will see examples of people that have not been godly. Look at Isaiah 59. Because this applies to us. Verse 19. Isaiah verse 19. Thank you. Right. What that process that Bible says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in, come on. Because the enemy comes in, he's allowed to come in based on all we have been hearing. When he comes in, come on, like a flood, you respond. And this, that God raises up a standard. What is that standard? It's a standard of divine love. But that standard is coming from eternal life. Bible says, John Pastor shared it this morning beautifully. It was my notes, so I'm not going to turn to it. John 17:3. This is life eternal, that we may know him. We need to know God. So that when God, you know, like children of Israel, when God came on the mountain and there was thunderings and lightnings and voices and there was earthquake and they said, come close. I said, I beg you. They didn't know God. He said, Moses, you go. Half expecting that he won't come back. You go. When you see what happens to you, then we'll understand whether we should go or not. You know, and all that. Since you have been going, it's okay. Just be going for us. Whatever you tell us, we'll do. They were not interested in knowing God. But God wants us to know him. The Bible says that we know him. You know him. To know him. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. It's knowing God, though. That is the key, not being born again and making heaven. That's really low, 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 low. Is knowing God, born again and knowing God. Knowing him in my spirit by being born again. Knowing him in my soul. Knowing him in my body. Intimacy. When he reproduces his nature in me. That's the key. And that's what he's saying here. Okay? Where he says that he raised up a standard. Go back to Isaiah 59. Thank you. Verse 19. Shall raise up a standard against him. Now that standard he raises up is a standard of love. The love of God perfected in our soul and perfected in our mortal flesh. And look at what the Bible says in the next verse. Verse 20. Says, then the Redeemer shall come to Zion. I'm ahead of you. The Redeemer will come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression, Jacob. So the Redeemer is coming to Zion fully. Just like it says that the Son of Man shall appear with power and great glory. Is that as the Redeemer? He's coming in human beings. And in those that are following them, those that turn from that are aspiring along the way, he will come to them. And when he comes to them, this is what is going to happen. Next verse. Those fathers will now ensure that all their sons and daughters that are following them, that the same thing is established. The covenant that they have with God, it will now transfer, because the covenant is with you and with your seed and with your seed's seed unto the fourth generation. Amen. So that spirit that is upon you, and my words that I put in the mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth. Nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed, said the Lord, from henceforth, even forever. The next thing is, arise and shine. Because I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. We're not going anywhere without our children. You didn't say amen. Only two of them. I said, we're not going anywhere without our children. We need them, every one of them. They are part and parcel of the package. So as Pastor Day was talking to you, I was clapping, but I was like a lone voice, you know, singing all these songs, you know, not knowing that you are confessing things. Yes, that's what you're doing.
You know, that's when, and he's wrapping poison, just like they used to give us medicine in swallow, you know, in some kind of food that covers it. They put a tablet in there and then that's to swallow it. You know, that's what he's doing. He's coating it with good rhythm and good music, and you're shaking your head and then you're doing it. But you know, if you keep taking the word, if you keep taking the word and you keep taking the spirit, you will lose your appetite for that music. That's the key, because God is stronger than the devil and light is stronger than darkness. So the thing is that you need to also make sure that you're not barraging yourself with that same thing. You have to deny yourself. That's your self-denial right there. And if you do it, you are becoming more like God and you are paying the price. Amen? All right, so we see that. All right, so why is this important? God has released abundant grace, and grace gives life. Abundant grace to us through the spirit of wisdom and revelation from the sons of Issachar. We looked at that. But look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2. Let's read it together. Titus 2 from verse 11. Thank you. Wow. For the grace of God. Pastor was talking about abounding grace. In this day, brethren, the grace that we have is not just enough to overcome the iniquity. The grace we have is abounding grace. The iniquity is here. The grace is up here. You cannot compare the measure. You cannot compare the measure of the grace that has, because it is abounding. And the grace that of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. How? Verse 12. Next verse. Something wrong with these guys. They're slowing us down. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and God. So that grace, if you give it, allow it to work, it will make you sober. And sober just means that you will begin to think in line with the word of God. Then it will make you righteous. Then it will make you godly. You can do it. In this present world, you will get it done. Next verse. Next done. Amen. Next verse. Looking for that blessed hope. Looking up. The key is, and you have to be looking up. No. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Not in the sky. In you. And me. Amen. Next verse. Who gave himself for that he might redeem us from some iniquity. All and pure from a peculiar people, zealous of good works, turning water to wine. Yes, to save people, you know. Yes, you know, feeding 5,000, you know, raising the dead. Yes, incredible, incredible intellectual miracles. Patent the idea, generate trillions for the kingdom, and use it to get missionaries to every nook and cranny of the earth. Yes, we're not doing it to get Nobel Prize. Nobel Prize is an aside. We're talking about things that God himself endorses. You know, Nobel Prize is the one that man gives. Amen. The one that God gives is the one we're looking for. The one that man gives is icing. It's not even icing. It's cherry in the icing on the cake. The real cake is love of God. The icing is the glory of God. And then the extra is the extra afikun addition. If we have it, praise God. If we don't have it, they cannot deny. The Bible says a notable miracle has been done. Whether you put it in your paper, you don't put your paper, it's not the important thing. But it's that nobody can gainsay it. We're not looking for the praise of man. We are looking for the honor of God. It says, through patient continuance in well doing, seek for glory. Then after the glory is honor. That's the honor. And immortality is to us, brethren. Abraham didn't have this. Daniel didn't have it. We have it. And we cannot sit down on it. We must be ready to go to any lengths to experience it. Because it's real. It's true. Amen. Alright. So we see That's what. So and that light and strength is what we need. So we see so we have to stay with the word. And this is the day, brethren, where as you are free, you know, you take out time to spend more time in the word. You know, spend more time in the word, study. Go, Pastor Lee was beautiful talking about messages going over. Go over those. Let them enter into your soul. Because when they enter in, the day the enemy comes, like a flood, that word that you put there, it will rise up. But if you didn't put it there and it's only on the surface, you will try like the seven sons of Sceva. I'm casting you out. Anything does not go. First time, second time, you pick race. Anything will be chasing. God forbid, you will not chase us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we are not sleeping. We are awake. And then the second one is we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says Revelation 14, verse 4. I'm not going to turn there because of time. Yes, stay here. Thank you. We then, as workers together with him, we are working with God, Lord Jesus Christ, beseech you that you receive not what? The abounding grace of God in what? In vain. Let's jump to verse 4. Jump to verse 4. Thank you. But in all things, are proving ourselves as ministers of God. Tell your neighbor, I'm a minister of God. You didn't say with faith though. Say, I'm a minister of God. Okay, say, I'm a child of God. I'm going to be a son of God. I'm a minister of God. In between the child and the son is the minister. Amen. All right. So he's the minister of God in much patience. In what? Afflictions. In necessities. In distresses. These are the things we must go through. Next verse. Some people turn back because of this, but we're not going to turn back. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting. Remember the principle. The more self-denial, the less persecution and affliction. But if you run away from self-denial, then unfortunately you have to face persecution. So it's better to deny yourself of your own free will so that you get minimum persecution. You still have to go through, but it will not be like some other people like we see in the Bible. Next verse. Okay? But we overcome it by this. So it's a path we go through, but we're overcoming it with this. By what? Pureness. This is what is building into us. Hallelujah. By what? Knowledge. By long suffering. By kindness. By the Holy Ghost. What will come upon Mary? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. By love and faith. Next verse. By the word of truth. By the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Next verse. And then this is your impact towards men. By honor and this. Some people will honor you. Some people will say he's a liar. I mean, we can't help that. But the people that are sincere and honest, you are a written epistle to them. Hallelujah. By evil reports and good. As deceivers and yet true. Next verse. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live. We die to self, but we live. We are unknown in that we are unknown, we are obscure in the world. You know, politically, you know, you're not well known, but in the spirit realm, you're well known. Hallelujah. Amen. As chastened and not killed. Next verse. As sorrowful, yet what? Always rejoice. Sorrowful as in mourning, fasting, a lifestyle of living a fasted life. But always rejoice because you're going from victory to victory. Hallelujah. As poor, yet making many rich. I mean, you're not poor, but relative to what the word of God that you are preaching and your sons that are going out. It looks like, I would have expected. Mm-mm. It's not every money is not the only measure of prosperity. There is favor, and it's greater than riches. There is life. If you have all the money in the world and you have something that money cannot solve, what do you do? But we are still going to be rich. But you see, he's telling you that take your eyes off the world. Take your eyes off the worldly indices. Just start using the godly indices to be measuring yourself. That's what he's saying. Next verse. Next verse. Has having not yet, oh ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged.
It's talking about the heart of oversight. Over heart is enlarged. Next verse. You are not straightened in us, but you are straightened in your bowels. And you see, the thing is that over time, oversight have an enlarged heart. Because the enlarged heart comes by going through the process of self-denial. So they are more selfless than we are. But as we follow in that path, we also become more and more selfless. And our hearts are also, and that's why he said, you are not straightened, you are straightened in your bowels. Next verse says, be ye also enlarged. So the way we have been enlarged used to be enlarged. And brethren, is a place here to say that we need to be enlarged in our bowels. We need to lift up our oversight in the place of prayer. We need to give to our oversight as God is blessing you. It's very important. No, they don't emphasize, they don't beat the drum, but the Bible says that let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. God knows what is good thing. So while you are looking, whether does it meet the is this good thing or not? God is looking at you. Better be careful. You know, but what God is saying is that, you know, as God is blessing you, make sure we do our part. Okay? That's what God is doing. All right, so we see that our attitude to oversight is key for us to be able to fulfill the purpose of God. You know, because that attitude allows the mercy and the grace of God to come upon us, like Pastor Day was saying earlier, in sufficient measure. And then, how do we do it? We know it already. Keeping the seven pillars of wisdom. We've been taught, and please, can you put that up for me? Seven pillars of wisdom. We've been taught honesty and humility of heart. You know, but it's so important that we don't just gloss over these things. Recognize those whom God has put in authority over you. And when good things come your way, honor them. You know, it's very important. Thank you. The fear of God, honesty and humility. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it says, esteem them. Bible says, know them that labor among you and are over you and admonish you. The first place the Bible began is labor. They labor. Then they are over you. And then they admonish you. So they are doing what they say. You know, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. All right? So that esteem is what God is talking about. All right? That esteem, you know, that honor, that regard. You know, it's very important that is there because it's an attitude. And then we make sure we practice humility as a habit. Meekness and lowliness of heart. Because that is key to be able to fulfill the will of God in this day. You know, Samson was not humble. An angel appeared to his mom and his dad. An angel didn't appear to your parents. So in that sense, Samson had a great start. Great start, but what did he do with it? He wasn't honest. He wasn't humble. He disregarded his parents. They couldn't talk to him. They really couldn't talk to him. You know, he's like, and I had mommy was saying this a few days ago. Say it's so good to always have somebody that can talk to you. That when your mind is made up on something, that there is one person that they can say, come here and say, this is that you want to do. Are you sure? You must always have a. He that trusted in his own heart is a fool. Because your heart can deceive you. It can look right, feel right, sound right, and yet it's not right. All right. So it's very important to understand that. To recognize those. And then number two, in this day, self-judgment. Pastor has taught us that, and I want to emphasize. Pastor Zito spoke about it on Wednesday. We want to talk about temperance and judgment and righteousness, and it's very important. No, I judge myself, and I condemn my wicked actions. You don't condemn yourself, condemn the action, but then you crucify the sin nature and the loss that caused them, and then you receive mercy, you know, and forsake the sin. That is important. You know, that daily self-judgment. And then the attitude of repentance.
See, an attitude of repentance, you know, repentance can be an act. Like I repent because somebody pointed out to me something I did that was not right, and now I realize that it was not right. That's good. That's repentance. But there's also a place where you have a constant attitude of looking out for what you are not doing, because it's obedience, or what you are not doing to the point of death, or what you are doing to a certain level. Then when it gets to a certain level, you stop. When it gets to a certain level of inconvenience, you stop. It's an act of repentance. That is more what God is talking about. That is walking circumspectly. That is no being on your guard, so that the Satan cannot slip in through the back door. All right, and then be quick to crucify those weights and sins whenever you see them. So that attitude makes you spot them, and then when you spot them, you now deal with them. That's that prayer. I deny myself. You know. Lust of the flesh, over talking, over eating, over sleeping. And that was a beautiful message Pastor shared, showing that the talking is the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of everything that takes everything through. So we're not waiting for sex, no, but we're dealing with the real thing. You know, if we were to judge just looking at it physically, we would say that no, our immorality is worse than over talking. But they're all lust of the flesh. And the talking is the beginning of everything. So the talking is actually more important. That's why you need sons of Issachar. Because they are the ones because they are looking up. So they are seen in the light of the face of Jesus Christ. And they can tell you this is how it is done. Because they've gone the way ahead. Amen? That's the way it is, all right? And then daily Bible reading and weekly Bible study. Now this one is, apart from, you know, giving your tithe of your time, you know, praying in the morning, reading your Bible daily. You Bible study. You save some time. That weekend when you're free, you have 5 hours. Now sit down. Hey, I want to watch movie, whatever. I want to go out. Nothing wrong with that. You can take out 1 hour. Take out 1.5 hours. Just give the Bible. Because you don't know when next you'll get the time. You don't know when next you'll get the time. Take out that time and study your Bible. Study some messages that have gone ahead and build the Word of God inside. It's an evil time. It's an evil time. And there's nobody you're going to go to. Some things just, it's just how you are at that time. So deposit, invest in yourself. Buy the truth. Put it inside, you know, and that truth, it will speak. The Bible said the Word became flesh. That Word you are putting in, it will become flesh in the time of temptation, and it will deliver us in Jesus' name. And finally, I want to look at an example of somebody. Doesn't be 5 minutes. Oh, thank you. This is beautiful. Fear of the Lord, praying in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. It's communion prayer right there, because it's also a fellowship with God. You know, so as you are praying in tongues, you are fellowshipping with God at the back of your mind. You know, we always encourage us every morning. It's a composite whole, praying in tongues, interjecting your praying in tongues with amen and amen. Very important. Binding the devil. Whatever you bound on earth, Matthew 18:18 is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You excite yourself in it. You know, you practice it in your own life. I bind this thing. If you don't bind, no, little things like headache and, you know, your car, this same tire developing a flat tire every time, this particular tire. Now it may be that the tire is bad. It may be that. It may well be. But I know you know who. Sometimes he just goes out there and makes life difficult. You have to take authority. Take your place. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an heir of the kingdom filled with the Holy Ghost. So your first solution is always spiritual. Your first is always spiritual. When spiritual is okay, then we can do physical. But never go physical first. Always go spiritual first. Amen. I think that's what God wants to say. All right. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 13. It's the story of the man of God, the prophet. Very quickly, 5 minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, 5 minutes. 1 Kings 13:1-2. man of God, doing great things, prominent. God brought him into prominence. But it's important to be under covering. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, you know Jeroboam, he was a bad boy. Let's just say he was a bad boy. King of Israel, all the kings of Israel were bad boys. They were competing as to how bad, who can be badder, who can be baddest. You know, if I can use that word. But Jeroboam was ranking among the first three, somewhere there, okay? And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Next verse. This was the idolatry that was going on. They were offering upon God's altar, they were offering all this rubbish thing. And so he brought, God sent him. He was not resident there. He was a man of Judah. God sent him to Bethel because Bethel was an idolatry. All right. And he gave a sign, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Next verse. And it came to pass that when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand against from the altar, saying, lay hold upon him, talking to his servants. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up. So that he could not pull it in again. Ogbe. Just remain like that. Fixed. Dry. Immediately, Jeroboam knew there was a problem. Eh? Next verse. And the altar was, and just as his hand was drying up, the word was coming to pass. The altar also was rent. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. This happened right in front of the man of God. The man of God. Verse 6. And the king answered the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, humbled himself, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. I'm not familiar by. Don't leave me like this. This is not how you met me. I was a mistake. So, he said, okay, entreat now, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. So this man has power with God. But you must always know the source of your power. It's very important though. Next verse. So this happened, alright? Let's jump to, okay, verse 7, quickly. And the king said, man of God, come on with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. When your enemies pretend as if they're your friends. Next verse. And the man of God said unto the king, if you will give me half of your house, I will not go in with thee, and I will not eat bread nor drink water in this place. Next verse. For so it was charged me. Why are you saying all these things? Over talking. Saying too much. Who asked you? I'm not going. Period. For so it was charged him by the word of the Lord, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again, by the same way that thou camest. Next verse. So he went another way and returned not by the way which he came to Bethel. This was this man's habit. God had been correcting him. He didn't listen. So now, on this assignment, the thing popped up again. See, if we don't kill the lust of the flesh, you never know the day it will pop up and trip us up. We will not trip us up in Jesus' name. But the key here is that we must kill it. Anytime that attitude of repentance will fish it out. As long as you see it, I deny myself. And you kill it. And then you do what you are supposed to do in self-denial. You are only helping yourself. What you are running away from is coming back if you don't do it. We will do it in Jesus' name. So it went another way, but that over-talking that they had done had created a problem. It started a chain reaction. Next. Yeah, so it started a chain reaction. Now, there was an old prophet. God saw the old prophet there. He didn't talk to him. Why? Because man was eating and drinking in that place. In those days, eating and drinking symbolized a way of life. It was culture. You see, it was part of their culture. So they would eat and drink things that were sacrificed to different idols. It was all part of what they were doing. It was a way of life. So when he said don't eat or don't drink, he was saying don't contaminate yourself. Keep yourself pure. That's what he was really saying. But he didn't understand. Anyway, to cut a long story short. So they told their father. So the man rode on an ass. Verse 12. 13. Quick. Alright, so right now. 14. And went after the man of God. He's still a man of God. And found him sitting under an oak. Why was he sitting? We should not be sitting in the city of discomfort. Maybe it was busy worrying. This instruction, Sha. Since morning, I have not eaten. It's evening time. Feeling sorry for himself. Yes, now. He feels sorry for himself. And he said unto him, are you the man of God that came from Judah? Yes, I am. Next verse. And he came and said, come home with me and eat bread. Next verse. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. Next verse. For it was said to me, see it again. Over talking. Thou shalt not eat bread, nor drink water, then nor turn again by the same man. Why does he need to know that? Next verse. But in that, he allowed himself to be saved. Next verse. He said, I'm also a prophet, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Next verse. And he went back with and did eat and drink bread. Next verse. Quick. And it came to pass, he sat at the table as they were eating. The word of the Lord. See God. The word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. A wicked prophet, yes, because God didn't use him. You know, he's now receiving the word of the Lord when God did not speak to him before. But to get across to this man, he needed to do it. Next verse. And he cried unto the man of God. He didn't talk to him more. He cried, said, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and has not kept the commandment with the Lord that God has commanded thee. Talking to him very sternly. Next verse. But came back and has eaten bread and drunk water. Always the Lord said to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. Thy carcass, excuse me, shall not come to the sepulchre of thy fathers. Next verse. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, he finished his food. You are shaking your head. He finished his food now. He finished his food. He started with us. And the prophet had brought him back, and he went. And then the Lord, Bible says, the lion appeared to him in the way, but there was a sign. The lion killed him, but did not eat him. And the lion did not eat the ass. So the lion was there, the ass was there, and the man was there dead. And people were passing by. It was a sign. The ass is a type of the apostolic and the prophetic, burden bearers. It's covering. He was delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. It was judgment. It was God that killed him. The man said it. It was God that killed him, but it was an act of love, because he was not dealing with the flesh. What does that tell us, brethren? We need to deal with our flesh. We need to deal with our flesh. This man didn't expect it to. He could have easily, quickly left the place and gone out of the place. Once he's out of the place, he can eat now. What was he still doing there? But that's what happens. You know, when we don't kill the flesh, murmuring, complaining, envy, scornful attitude, all those things, they all work together, and they were the undoing of that man. May God have mercy. It's a lesson to us. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But it's a lesson to us. Let us pray. Two things to remember. Don't be asleep. When you come under pressure, don't back down. Remember, it's obedience unto death. not for nothing. Whatever you're going through, if you're going through something right now, I want to encourage you. It's not for nothing. Life is being made manifest in your mortal flesh. And God will turn it around. He will turn it around. He's almighty. You're on the winning side, on the winning team. Winning is in your spirit, is in your soul. Just keep walking in love and raise up that standard of the love of God against what Satan is doing. Let us talk to God. Stand up
for Jesus, his soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, his army shall lead, till every foe is found.
Yes, every foe within.
And Christ is Lord indeed.
Stand up, stand up.
Stand up, stand up.
It is strength,
oh Jesus.
It is strength, the Lord.
Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own.
Put on the gospel armor. Arm of righteousness. On the right and on the left.
Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting.
The last stanza.
Stand up, stand up, stand up for Jesus.
The strife will not be long.
The strife will not be long.
Yes, a quick work, a quick work.
The noise of battle.
The next, the victor song.
The next, the victor song.
To him that overcometh.
To him that overcometh.
Yes, that's you. That's me.
A crown of life shall be.
For us all,
and we with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Let's raise up our right hand to God. Put that left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that I've heard today. I receive it and I lift up my head to look up with revelation on the example, the persistence, the manner of life of the Lord Jesus Christ and my spiritual fathers in authority over me. Their instruction, I diligently follow these instructions. I hold fast unto them and maintain a humble attitude, quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to obey, so I will fulfill your purpose for me in this day, in Jesus' name. Explain the spirit. Kakande rose kan band bonte mantan rose kombani rababam kena rababam balon rababababakatumababababasia rabakateda benga rabababababasana rababo binamad melea rabo binelebasa rabababakotebasa rambebebedikeman. In Jesus' name, amen. God has given us grace to overcome whatever situation you're in. If you're trusting God for healing, just lift up that hand to God. There's abounding grace in the air. And grace is going to touch you. Heavenly Father, we just send the word of healing, Lord, into our minds, to the minds and bodies of as many as their hands are lifted up in need at this time. Let that word go through. It will not return to you void. Let it accomplish all that is your will and prosper in their will, in their mind, in their emotions, and in their mortal flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.